That is right. Welcome in to the free agency special here on ESPN 102.5. The game. How's it going? Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith, Teron Davenport, Max Herz on the ones and twos behind the glass. Hope you're having a great day. And we lead things off with the Tennessee Titans have their quarterback, and his name is Ryan Tannehill remains with the Tennessee Titans. But you already knew that. I just wanted to be dramatic.
Boys, how are we? It was funny. It was funny.
Teron kind of laughed. He's like, I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know what you're doing over there. It's been a while since we've, you know, done a show together, TD.
Yeah.
It's good to see you. So, Ryan Tannehill, let's start with that. We'll get into the Titan signings. I know there's Brady news out there. That the reports are it will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers landing his services after he made it official today that he was leaving New England. But the Titans, they've been busy, but they've been busy with their own, which I kind of like to see. They did make one reported free agent signing today in Vic Beasley, but the big news was they got a deal done over the weekend with Ryan Tannehill, so we know that he is going to be the quarterback, at least for the foreseeable future, for this team.
Yeah.
I said all along I felt that was the way to go and the right move, even though I did have fun tweeting at Tom Brady just because I wanted him to answer my questions. I still think Ryan Tannehill was the way to go, so they got it done.
Yeah, I think it was the way to go, and that's something that if you look at just for the sake of having things continue, right? Continuity is something that I spoke to Mike Vrabel about at the Combine on the sidebar conversation we had. That's a question I asked him about because he was so focused on continuity and going into 19 with the OC. Well, you have that now, so why not make sure you have continuity with the quarterback at OC, something that has been somewhat foreign to this market and to this city. So that is a really good thing. I was really impressed with Ryan Tannehill on the conference call today. I really love the way he was so firm in saying, I didn't want to test free agency. I want to win.
Yeah.
At this point in my career, I want to win. I want to be around people who are focused on winning. We are chasing championships. We are chasing rings. And I believe everybody in the building is focused on that. I think that is the kind of thing that you want to hear a leader say.
Well, and you also had his teammates, Calvin, that were all coming out and saying, you know, what is all this Brady talk? Derrick Henry was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast and brought up, well, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he was our guy. And, I mean, Derrick Henry's in his own contract negotiation, and here he is fighting for the quarterback. So I think the guys that played around him all wanted him back. And I did think it was interesting, guys, that he brought up in the conference call that I heard went real well, by the way, that he brought that up that, you know, he wasn't sure it was going to get done. So that kind of made you wonder, was there a thought of going in a different direction, but ultimately they went Tannehill.
I think that when you mention his teammates wanted him back, Jonnu Smith, A.J. Brown, they tweeted about it. I think it comes back to the simple fact that with how well it worked here in Tennessee for Ryan Tannehill, it makes it really tough to go in a different direction. Like a lot of people are talking about the price tag, and it was high, and maybe it'll come out to be too much. We don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be as efficient as a quarterback as he was last season. But just the simple fact that they were so efficient on offense with him, and obviously a receiver, a tight end, and when everything works in conjunction like that, it's going to make you a lot more happy and harder to move on.
Let me ask you a question. And it's, I know the answer, but I just want you guys to say it. Did you like what A.J. Brown did last year?
Loved it.
Oh, yes.
52 receptions. 36 of them came courtesy of Ryan Tannehill. 754 of his 1,051 yards came from who? Ryan Tannehill. 6 of his 8 TD passes came from Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to foolishly sit here and say Ryan Tannehill made A.J. Brown because that's not the case. But there is something to be said to the chemistry and to the just the timing in these routes. Play action passing and A.J. Brown running that slant. There is a reason why he gets so much yards after the catch. It's because he accelerates through the catch. You can only do that if your quarterback leads you. And that's something that Ryan Tannehill did exceptionally well. It's why he had a 70% completion rate. It's why his yards per attempt at 9.6 yards were the highest in the league. Oh, and by the way, we're talking about a 117.5% quarterback rating.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I get it, right? Ryan Tannehill back in Miami, there was a lot left to be desired. But I truly think that this is a different player than the one that was there in Miami. A, because he has weapons. B, because I just see a different mindset. You've seen him make much more tight window throws. You have that monster in the backfield, which Tannehill made sure that he mentioned that there's still time and he would like to see get a long-term deal. I like that
He's
leadership,
going to.
Too. You know, giving that little elbow, nudging to have his guy get taken care of.
He's going to.
But having that in the backfield and dictating so much one-on-one covers on the outside, I think it just is an ideal situation for everybody.
Yep. Ryan Tannehill gets along with guys named Arthur. That's the thing.
That's a key, yes. too.
A.J. Brown and Arthur Smith. And my thing all along, when I would have debates with whether it was the Midday Show or others about this, and, well, why wouldn't you want to go with Brady? Well, here's the deal. Arthur Smith did such a good job as the offensive coordinator in his first year, and then that offense became so efficient, and it really went up another level when Tannehill took over, and you could tell that the chemistry was there. Why would you want to change that after a year? You've already changed offensive coordinators, you know, once under Mike Vrabel in the 2 years that he's been here. You don't want to have to go through having to change up quarterbacks and redo everything for the third year in a row. Now you don't have to necessarily.
I think you could also look at quarterbacks on smaller sample sizes who got paid, and you can feel a little bit better about Ryan Tannehill. You got this. Although he didn't throw many passes in the playoffs, you got this through the playoffs, you got this for 10 games. Is it a huge sample size? No, but I do think he's a little bit different, like what Teron was talking about. He's a different player now.
Yeah.
I think you saw enough of the floor of what he could be, because Tannehill was never a blowout, standout quarterback throwing for 550 yards in a game or anything like that, but now you at least see there's a downside. Could it be worse than the efficient level he was at? Yes, but he's a little bit different in terms of other flash-in-the-pan quarterbacks, like a Matt Flynn or something like that.
Yeah, Matt Flynn, that's a good example. And, you know, I think when you look at what Tannehill brings to the table, right, he's perfect. I was on a radio show in Miami, and, you know, I try not to belittle anybody, but, you know, this guy, I had to tell him, like, listen, man, your take and your input is elementary and crude. You know, because here's the thing. You get so stuck in thinking a guy has to pass for 350 yards, over 4,000 yards to be effective. But when you look at what Ryan Tannehill does, Ryan Tannehill and Tom Brady are two different quarterbacks. Brady, to me, is he'll kill you by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah.
Just dice you apart. Tannehill is different. Tannehill, to me, is like Mike Tyson. He has that knockout punch. He's like Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
He got that knockout punch. And here's the thing. He doesn't have to pass the ball 25 to 30 times. He could be very effective passing the ball 15 to 20 times. And that's how this offense is built. And the thing I really like about Tannehill is you could just let him go, hand the ball off, and then call play action, and his throw is going to be on the money.
Mm-hmm.
He and Khalif Raymond, that's why. Your boy Khalif, he got to come back. I don't care they get KJ Hamler, Dev Duvernay, who you know I love.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care who they get. Raymond has to be back. And because that timing that they have on that play action, you look at the Colts game, you look at the Ravens game. He is so good at making that one or two throws and not losing the game. He's a game manager. And this is what I had to tell this guy in Miami, because when I told him that, he was like, "Oh well, you know that you're indicting him right there." No. A game manager is good. A game manager is someone who effectively operates within the offense and keeps things rolling, and that's what Tannehill does.
Yeah, I just think this offense is fit. You know, has fit him. I know he had injury issues in Miami. I didn't think Adam Gase was a very good head coach.
Mm-mm. I don't.
I still don't think Adam Gase is a very good head coach. So I think that was part of the problem too. He has finally found an organization and a system in which he just fits. And
you
heard it today on the conference call of that he just this feels like home for him, and he's got the weapons around him. They're going to continue to add. I mean, and look, he's lost a key piece on the offensive line in Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin going to the Browns. But
hey, they got the Undertaker.
But bringing back the Undertaker and Dennis Kelly. And Titans – social media, Titans Twitter, the fact that you tweeted out an Undertaker GIF, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you for that. But
that's
having
my
him
boy,
back,
man, Nate Bain, man, doing the thing.
I know, but they got Dennis Kelly back for half the money that you know they would have had to pay Conklin, or Conklin got paid by the Browns. I like that idea, and then you can draft somebody that you can groom. But you got Dennis Kelly in there to catch passes too. So I mean, it all works out.
Yeah, because the Titans love to throw to their offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. And I know everybody is complaining about this Tannehill deal, right? They say, oh, $118 million, 61 fully guaranteed, 62 fully guaranteed. You know, it came a little short of my offer. I was at 64. Mm-hmm. And I know Jarrett sat in that chair that you're sitting in, Chase, and, you know, he went crazy. But, hey, look, that's what I think he should have been paid. Here's the deal. Let's say things don't work out after year two. They could release him with a $10 million hit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
But here's the other part of that. If they win the Super Bowl, none of you will care how much they paid him.
And oh, then, yeah. Well,
in addition to that, let's not even say if they win the Super Bowl. Let's just say he plays well enough to keep them in contention. It's a bargain deal in those years.
It's just the price of paying for a competent quarterback play in the league. The numbers that quarterbacks are going to start getting soon. This is why Dak Prescott hasn't signed yet, despite the Cowboys offering him a lot of money, is because with how the cap's expected to grow, because this sport is still growing, quarterbacks, maybe the most valuable position in all of sports, are going to take up a huge percentage of the cap. In a couple of years, Ryan Tannehill's impact on the salary cap will be a little bit diminished because of cap growth. Now, is it still a lot of money? Yes, but comparatively for the position and getting competent quarterback play, you almost just pay whatever it's going to take, and Ryan Tannehill wasn't probably going to take a discount.
And then he's, what, a $24, $25 million cap hit?
Yes.
That's what's allowing this team to spend that money on Dennis Kelly, to tag Derrick Henry.
Y'all need to get that
guy a deal, though.
They're going to have to. Yeah. And they should.
Yeah, and there's time, as Tannehill said. There's time. They got
absolutely.
To what? July 15th.
I've read stuff you've written. I thought John Glennon had an excellent piece on The Athletic about this, that you know the Titans had to do it to buy time. Derrick mm-hmm. Henry has every right to be pissed off that he's gotten tagged. Figure it out, because he deserves it, and he should not play on the franchise.
Do we all think they're going to get the deal done with him?
I think they're going to get something done.
Yeah, I would assume they're going to, too.
Even if they don't, business-wise, to tag him next year, it's good business, right? Just taking the emotional part out of it. But I think in his situation, because of how much that organization is placed on his back, and how much he's asked to carry that team and what he is in that locker room, I think you do have to reward.
No, I think you totally have to. He is Tyrann Davenport. He is Calvin Smith. I am Chase McCabe. It is the NFL Free Agency Special. We're on until 8 o'clock tonight talking about the Titans and elsewhere around the league. When we come back, we'll look at the quarterbacks, because we knew this was going to be a busy free agency period for the QBs. A lot have found new homes. We'll discuss that when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the NFL Free Agency Special, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith, Tyrann Davenport hanging out with you as the free agency officially opens tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central Time. But we all know legal tampering. We are currently in that period, and everybody gets the reports, and so they're putting out there who's going where. The Titans have brought in Vic Beasley on a one-year deal, and we'll touch on that real quick before we get to quarterbacks, because I know you wanted to say something about that, Tyrann, and then we'll dive into it hot and heavy in a little bit. But he's a help on pass rush if you get the good Vic Beasley. Now, he's declined in the last few years, not the same that he was when he came out, but I like the price, and it could be that they bring him in and they turn him back into what he used to be.
Well, he fell out of favor with Dan Quinn and that Falcons coaching staff. Struggled to get on the field a lot. There were different things going on. They felt like he betrayed them because at one point they put everything in, the ball in his court, so to speak, and it felt like he didn't deliver. But I really think if you look at a motivated Vic Beasley, you have a couple fastball pitchers. You know, it's like, I don't know. I can't think. I'm not going to say Braves because I got my Mets hat.
Noah Syndergaard.
It's like it's like the Mets had Noah Syndergaard and Matt Harvey, right? Because you got two guys that are fastball guys coming off the edge, and Harold Landry and Vic Beasley. That's the one thing he has in his favor, his get-off. It is something special. So it's a really good situation as far as – let me say it can be a good situation as far as finding a guy with a lot of talent that just needs a swift kick in the butt. And if anybody could give that, it is Mike Vrabel. And I'm not going to shortchange what they have in Shane Bowen. He's an outstanding coach, and you talk about teaching players how to use their hands and how to keep that chest plate clean. He's very good at that. So there is a bit of that pass rushing culture being developed, and it's something they'll continue to work on.
He had 8 sacks last year. I mean, that's
four in the last 4 games.
Sure. So, I mean, there's definitely something still there, and you bring up a good point, not only with Shane Bowen, but with Vrabel as well, being able to get in there with him.
So I think with Vic Beasley, you talk about the downside of what's like the worst case scenario you get if everything goes wrong with him. For $9.5 million guaranteed, you probably get a solid pass rusher. I mean, is he going to be really good against the run? Maybe, maybe not. These other things that you're a little bit worried about. But at the end of the day, Vic Beasley's probably going to be able to get after the quarterback. And we saw against the Chiefs, the Titans really, really need that. And I think with where the Titans defense is right now, you need to be taking a chance on someone with a tremendous amount of talent like him.
I could see them using him a lot similar to how the 49ers, back when they were with Vic Fangio, they used to use Alden Smith primarily on second and third downs. And they would rotate. They had Paris Harrelson, a guy playing first down, but then – you know, second and third, or like first, second and passing type, basically, long story short, passing situations, he came onto the field. I could see them doing that with Vic Beasley. And here's the thing, when I mentioned get off, right, you go back to the combine, 4.53, 40 times.
Yeah.
At 245 pounds. Short shuttle was 4.153 cone, 6.91, very agile. Oh, and he 35 reps on the bench. So you're definitely getting the athlete. One thing that kind of makes me wonder, you're in Atlanta. You have one of the best pass rushing coaches in your backyard, and you don't go to him. But Chuck Smith has always been high on him. I text Chuck before the show, and he texts me back. He said he's happy for Vic, and he's happy that he gets a fresh start, and he feels that's going to help. He has the potential to be a consistently good pass rusher. Here's the key. If he puts in the work, that's a problem. Because one of the things coming out of Atlanta, that camp, is he was about his work ethic. They called him lazy. But if he puts in the work and learns a signature pass rush move and counter, then sky's the limit. And he says, facts, I only watched him almost every play of his career. So if anybody knows Vic Beasley, it's Chuck Smith.
Well, and I'll say this, because you just brought it up. I'll echo what you said. The work ethic thing, Mike Vrabel, he's going to work.
Yeah.
And otherwise, he's not going to play.
It doesn't really fly.
Yeah, and that's the culture. That's the culture that John Robinson's built. That's the culture that Mike Vrabel has helped build as well. I mean, I'm sure that was a conversation when they were having these negotiations of like, look, you know, whether it's through the agent or with Beasley himself, like, you're going to work. Like, if you're going to come here, you're going to fit in what we're trying to do, and you're going to put in the work. We're not going to have any laziness or anything like that.
And his agent just happens to be John Robinson's agent.
There you go. So that helps.
It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. I guess that's what they got going on, right, with Tannehill, too.
So speaking of Beasley, twice a year now, reportedly, he is going to be going after Phillip Rivers. Mm. Phillip Rivers will be signing with the Colts. And we know that's a division opponent. What do you guys think about that? I'm kind of like, I'm not that worried about it, but I still think you got to respect him, but he's not the same Phillip Rivers.
I think you have to respect him. And it's another situation, right? A very talented guy put in a situation where he has something to prove, right? I mean, your organization that you cut your teeth with and made your legacy with said, see you later.
See you, bye.
Fortunately for him, because you look at his time with Frank Reich, it was very successful. Frank Reich actually was able to parlay that into a bunch of head coaching interviews and then OC for the world championship Philadelphia Eagles.
Did they fire Reich for Wisenhunt to bring Wisenhunt back?
I think that was the case. Yeah, that was after the 15th season.
Because that was before Anthony Lynn. That was McCoy.
Reich wasn't there with Lynn. He 16, he took over as OC with the Eagles. So I think it's a good match. And then on top of that, you know, they have some weapons, man.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack, a really good back. Nyheim Himes. You know, you look at, obviously, T.Y. Hilton, which is daggum. That's why a guy like Darnay Holmes has to be picked. Because you need somebody else to run with that Roadrunner. We can get into that another time. But then you look at Paris Campbell. Like, they have weapons. I think they need to get another tight end. Jack Doyle is good, but they need to do that. Phillip Rivers has a lot at his disposal.
Yeah.
I think the Titans in the AFC South, the only team at this point I think you're really worried about next season is the Colts.
Yeah.
We saw what the Texans just did with DeAndre Hopkins. The Jags are...
Oh, we were about to get into that.
Yeah, the Jags are really hitting a reset button after a lot's happened down there. Bringing in Phillip Rivers is, I'm not going to say scary, but it definitely poses a threat to what the Titans want to do in the AFC South that has gotten substantially weaker.
Yeah, so speaking of Houston, we had you on yesterday right before this trade went down.
Yeah.
And I flippantly just brought up, I'm like, yo, TD, have you seen, you know, the rumors of Nuke Hopkins possibly being on the trade block, that the Texans might trade him? And we were all like, ah, that's funny. No chance that's going to happen. And not an hour later, it happens. And we were joking today of, you know, Bill O'Brien's calling Arizona, and they're like, okay, so David Johnson and picks. No first round pick.
Wait. They still don't have a first round pick.
No first round pick. And we get, hang on, we'll call the league. No, we'll take care of it. We got it. Call the league.
Yeah, yep. Call the league.
Right, like, call
them. We got us one. Because to add to that, they didn't get Keyshawn Johnson, a guest talking with TD last year. They didn't get Hakeem Butler. They didn't get Andy Isabella. They didn't get Christian Kirk. I mean, my goodness. You would think that they, okay, you don't want to keep a first-round pick?
I want to say what they didn't get, but I can't say that because of the FCC.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give us a first-round pick? Okay, well, I need one of your young guns. Somebody. I'm giving you a top three player at his position. In my opinion, the best at his position.
Yeah.
Which isn't crazy at all.
And I'm taking on a contract that you would die to get rid of. You got to do something for me. And they gave him that. And then a couple hours later, Stephon Diggs I mean, daggone.
And what's crazier to me is that they turned around and got Randall Cobb. Nice piece. But if that's what they were looking at.
He had a good year for the Cowboys, but he's not Nuke Hopkins.
If that was part of their like justification because they thought they could go get Randall Cobb, I don't see any of the sense in it. And it's if you're a Titans fan, you just jump for joy. And if you're Deshaun Watson, you're pissed.
Oh, yeah. And I said when this went down, I said, the Titans have no excuse. Like, I don't care what the Colts do at quarterback. You got to go win this division. Because the team that keeps winning it just basically said, here, we don't want it anymore.
Like, Colts are going to be good now.
Colts are going to be good. It should be between the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah.
But the Titans also, I mean, this is a bigger conversation. The Titans now have to win a division. They just have
Absolutely.
To. They are in a position, and I know they made a run last year. They went to the AFC Championship game, and that was awesome.
But yeah,
they now have to compete for the AFC South.
Absolutely. That's the minimum goal. That's the first goal. That should be the goal right now.
Sean Salisbury did have probably one of my favorite tweets that I've seen from this, and it said, Bill O'Brien, the coach, needs to punch Bill O'Brien, the GM, in the face. And I thought that was pretty good. So there you go on the AFC South front, and who knows what Jacksonville is going to do, what their quarterback situation is going to look like. But other quarterback news, Teddy Bridgewater going to Carolina.
I like that.
The Panthers, I do too. I like Teddy Bridgewater, and then he's reunited with Joe Brady. The Panthers had announced just before that they were allowing Cam Newton to seek a trade. Cam went on a little tirade on Instagram.
So.
You heard it on Jared and the GM. The former GM, Floyd Reese, said he didn't think Cam Newton was treated very well in this situation
It doesn't feel that way. And so I hope that, you know, I think Cam is still a starter in this league.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, there is a fit or a team that, you know, can definitely become a fit. And we'll discuss that when we come back. That's called a tease, folks. Free agency special. Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith, Teron Davenport, ESPN 1025 The Game. Love it. Welcome back in the NFL free agency special. Special. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport, Calvin Smith, Max Herz behind the glass. Yeah, Chase and TD Friday nights during the football season. at 6 o'clock. It's our happy little family.
Freaky Fridays. But it's just Tasty Tuesday.
I thought it was Taco Tuesday.
Nah.
Tom Brady expected to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow. Roughly $30 million per year, according to the NFL Network and others. So he is getting his money and going to a place where he is going to have a lot of weapons. But we were discussing Cam Newton and potential landing spots for Cam Newton via a trade. He's not a free agent. They have told him he can seek a trade. I think a team that could go after him and probably will go after him is the team that just lost out in the Brady sweepstakes, and that's the LA Chargers. That's what I think. I could see the Chargers making a run at Cam, and, you know, look, Cam likes he fits the LA lifestyle. That's a good fit for him. I don't see him fitting in New England. I know a lot of people have thrown that out there. Should New England make the trade, replace Brady with Cam Newton? I don't see Belichick and Cam Newton seeing eye to eye, and not in the way necessarily that the relationship that Belichick and Brady had. I just think they would butt heads way too much and it wouldn't work. That's just my opinion.
I think that Cam Newton to LA, I could see that for sure. I mean, they have weapons on the outside that can work. Yeah. And right now, Cam Newton, there's going to have to be a little bit of re-engineering in his style, but Cam Newton's a quarterback who's able to throw the ball downfield, and they have the weapons to do that. Now, I think the most optimal fit is in Chicago, though, with the Bears.
I think Chicago is a good fit. I'm going to side with you there. But since you mentioned the Chargers, I really, really like that fit.
Okay, so I've
Hunter Henry, you know,
during the break you brought up another team. And
yeah,
so,
yeah, we'll go there next. But I really, really like that fit in LA, and I think that would be ultra appealing to Cam. Cam is a high profile player. He's a guy that will bring fans into the seats.
Yep.
So that's a good thing. I still think he has some fruit left on the tree.
He's pissed off now. Of course he does. I mean, that's anything. If you want to get a veteran quarterback that you're not sure about, get a pissed off one, because that's what you need.
You know what's so tough about all this, though? You trade for him. You can't. How are you going to know if he's all right or not? It's not like you could put him on a plane. Well, unless you private jet and get him out there to give him
well,
a
Well, I think you have to say that. I mean, I think you have to tell Carolina.
There's got to be agreement in the contract.
There has to be.
Because Carolina now wants to get rid of him because they're signing Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
So they're like, we need to get rid of him. So if a team says, look, we got it's like buying a car. Like, hey, we got to come look at him. We got to come make sure he's okay.
Yeah. And my thing with that, Carolina really shot themselves in the foot. And this is just another example of how they mismanaged the situation.
Yeah.
You reached an agreement with Teddy Bridgewater before you even got this guy off of your – trade value? Like, I
don't really know what trade value.
If I'm the Chargers or the other team that I mentioned, I would love to see him go to Miami.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see that combination where he and Gesicki, Preston Wilson as you – Williams. As
yep.
I
got
Mookie's
son on my mind. Preston Williams, you know, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki. I think that's a really good situation. But no matter what, I wouldn't offer more than a fourth, if that.
And if you're the Chargers, you can also say, we still have Tyrod Taylor on the roster. And I think Tyrod Taylor can work just fine in an offensive system in the NFL. He's never been bad.
In Anthony Lynn's offense, he took the Bills to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they were very similar to what they were this past year. You know, everybody wanted to get him out of there and get Josh Allen in there. They haven't really upgraded, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, there are some things that can happen. I tell you what, though, while we're on the topic of quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett to the Patriots, I think, is something that they have to make happen.
He's
been there before. I know they value him, so that's something I think they have to make happen.
So you don't, if you're the Patriots, you're not riding Stidham. You're not ready to go that Stidham's a guy. Or are you saying bring in Brissett and have a battle?
I mean, I would poke the tires on Brissett's availability. I would think that the Colts would be interested. You know?
He'd look good backing up Andy Dalton, because I think Andy Dalton's going to New England.
Dalton's going to the Bears.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why the Bears?
Because they don't have a first round pick.
Yeah.
They clearly aren't interested in Mitchell Trubisky being their guy.
Is Dalton
for the
an upgrade
term.
Over Trubisky?
I think it's a very similar player, and I think Dalton presents a guy that, similar to Tannehill, if put in the right situation, can be effective. Dalton could go in there and run the offense. I think, as you said, with the Patriots, I think Dalton could go in there and run them. My thing with Mitch Trubisky is he has that Jimmy Garoppolo gene in him, that scariness. Mm. That dude sees a shadow of another color jersey, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it just – not in this late in his career should you have to be reducing the field to half – no.
Yeah.
We need you to scan the whole field. We need you to make those good throws, those outstanding throws that you do, but we need you to limit those horrible throws that you do. I think Andy Dalton could be much more effective with those weapons in that scheme.
When you say Andy Dalton to the Bears, my mind always also goes to Andy Dalton had A.J. Green in Cincinnati when A.J. Green was fully healthy. He's worked with the number one receiver. Allen Robinson would probably be really happy about that, and I think Allen Robinson's someone who's been underutilized because of the quarterbacks who have been throwing to him for his entire career in Jacksonville and in Chicago, one of the most talented receivers in the league.
And they just got another tight end, too. They got about 20 of them now.
Jimmy Graham? Didn't they just get Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham. I tell you what, Tyler Eifert, Tyler Croft, Dalton got production out of both of them, especially Eifert when he was healthy. I could see him in that situation. And the thing is that I also like with Dalton is he's already shown that he could be productive and he has enough on the ball to cut through that terrible weather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason.
So, okay, quarterbacks that we say are available because right now the pieces that are falling, we haven't even brought this up yet. Marcus Mariota reportedly will sign with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Love
that move. Now, is that a competition? Is he a backup? Is he trying to do what Tannehill did to him?
He very well could.
Or does Gruden like him so much that it's like, hey, you know what? That's my guy. I'm going with Mariota. I mean, he's going to come in here and run Zebra Y Banana or whatever the play is called.
Spider 2 Y Banana.
Yeah, that one.
You heard the clip, right, when Mariota was drafted?
Yeah.
You heard what he said. He said this could be the best moment in Tennessee Titans history.
Yep. Gruden loved him. Mike Mayock loved him.
I was about to say, Mike Mayock had him at the top quarterback in that draft.
Loved him.
Yeah. Gruden had him behind Jameis, but he definitely loved Mariota. And here's the thing.
So put Derek Carr on your list if he's not, because Derek Carr could be available.
I don't think Derek Carr is available. They're not just going to dump Derek Carr. They're going to have them both. It's going to be the exact same situation as we saw here.
Money talks or draft picks talk in this case. We've shown he's not afraid. They're not afraid to trade.
I get it, but they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to keep Derek Carr. They're going to allow it to be a competition. Not even a competition. They're going to allow Mariota to come in and do what he does. Derek Carr will still be the guy, but the minute things start to look bleak, Mariota's going to go in there, and that's when you're going to see a whole bunch of Oregon concepts get unleashed. They're going to run more spread. I think the pieces are in place for Mariota to do well. Gruden loves athletic quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He loves getting guys booting and on the move. You look at what he did with Rich Gannon. I could definitely see Mariota taking over for Derek Carr, but Derek Carr is not going anywhere.
Do you guys think that Denver is going to be an option for any of these quarterbacks that we've named? Pat Shurmur there is the offensive coordinator. We know what Pat Shurmur has done for quarterbacks. I know that they
– I think they're in on Drew Locke.
They
put the second round pick on him. He played last year.
He played well towards the end.
Yeah.
And he's with Shurmur.
Yes. I mean, you talk about you have a young quarterback on your roster, one who you put not significant but pretty good draft capital into. Drew Locke just makes too much sense in Denver, and I don't really see why they would be incentivized to go after somebody and pay a significant amount of money or trade out something significant when you already put something into a young guy you're trying to groom and have already played a little bit who you've seen glimmers of hope from.
You've finally seen something from a guy you drafted.
Yes.
Right? Paxton Lynch, no. Right? Trevor Siemian, no. Like, you finally got something from a guy that you brought in. I don't see them doing anything to mess that up. I'm talking about all the way to the point of making sure they don't even have a veteran backup that would be someone to say, hey, you know what? Things don't go right, we're going to him. I think they're all in on Drew Locke. But Jameis Winston.
So where does famous Jameis go?
Couldn't tell you.
Could he be, because that was one thing that was discussed, if there are so many quarterbacks available that there may not be homes for all of them, that you know one of these guys could be left out in the cold as a backup somewhere. I mean, could Jameis be that guy?
I think I'm one of the people who's higher on Jameis than most. I know the interceptions are a big issue with him, but at the same time, there is a strong risk-reward trade-off with his game. And, of course, it's very well joked about. He got the LASIK eye surgery, yeah. So now he can actually see the defense in front of him. But I think that if Jameis Winston is the guy who gets left out, I think that's a mistake because I think he's a lot better than what a lot of people give him credit for.
I tend to agree with you, Calvin. I mean, I think he's... Look, is he the best? No, but do I think he can still be a starter in this league? Yeah, I do.
What do you think of Jameis going to Jacksonville?
It's not a bad thought.
DJ Shark, they can run down the field a little bit. Jameis
you
got to
find
throw
somebody
to
take Foles, though.
They find somebody. Yeah, so now that old one. Good gracious, you talking
that's
about
the problem. That's the problem with all of this because you have this basically domino effect of every. Okay, so now. Brady goes to Tampa. Winston's out of Tampa. So Tampa's good. Tampa's got their quarterback. Mm-hmm. You have Carolina that is going to get Teddy B. That knocks Cam out. So where's Cam going to go? They're going to have to trade. So they got to find somebody. And then you have or Las Vegas that pretty much has that figured out with either Carr or Mariota. The Chargers still need a quarterback. So they're going to fill one of these spots.
I could see that.
Take one of these guys. I mean, Jameson.
I think the Chargers, that's Cam.
Yeah, I think Cam to the Chargers.
I think Miami's going to draft a quarterback.
And but yeah,
they, yes.
Oh, by the way,
the draft.
Still the draft. You're going to have. We know Cincinnati. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, that's why
Herbert's going to be out there. Jordan Love's going to be out there.
I mean, look, this is a legit. You know, okay, of teams that I think, that actually need quarterbacks, right now, Carolina, Chicago, Cincinnati. We just talked about Denver. They're probably good.
Carolina doesn't need a cup.
Well, they will once they get Bridgewater, or they won't once they get.
I wouldn't even
Bridgewater.
Mention Cincinnati either.
Chargers, they need one. Dolphins.
Bill Belichick can bring in players who maybe have been inconsistent in the past or had some maturity issues or things like that, and fix them up in his New England workshop.
We already put Jacoby Brissett back.
Right.
There.
Yep.
I was going to say the Lions, but I just looked at the number. That's why I said Jeesh. They can't get out of Matt Stafford's deal until.
No, yeah.
Well, they get $19 million. Good gracious.
I'm going to throw another team at you guys when we come back. It's one that we haven't thought of. I'll do that when we come back. It's the free agency special. Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith, Teron Davenport, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in the NFL free agency special here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. Calvin Smith hanging out with you. We'll get into the other free agency signings that aren't quarterbacks in the second hour and also the Titans and the work that they've done and the work that they have left to do. But wrapping up this quarterback conversation, I said this, you can tell how much the three of us have worked together, especially Teron and I on Friday nights with Chase and TD. And Calvin, of course, you're part of that. But I said, okay, there's one team that I think could be a fit for Jameis Winston that we haven't said yet. And we go to break, and Teron says the team said that he knew what it was. What about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, before I said Detroit, that's the one that popped into my mind as I was going through the list, and I could definitely see the Steelers as a destination for him. He could go there. He won't start this year, but after this year, he could become the starter, and they can move on from Roethlisberger.
Because Ben actually just restructured his contract.
I will say this, and it's going to – I'm trying to think of the best way to put it because it's going to come off as controversial.
Okay.
But I think that would be the worst situation for Jameis Winston. And I think going from Roethlisberger to Winston is already going to be a big enough hurdle. I just don't like Pittsburgh as a city for black athletes. I'm sorry. That's my strong belief. And then watching how they've dealt with some of these guys, it just seems too personal. I'm not accusing Pittsburgh or anything. I just have always noticed in all of my time following sports that that's just not a city I would want to play in, you know, if I'm a black athlete. So while that is a team that I think could be a good destination. For Winston's sake, I hope not.
Well, doesn't it, with Tomlin there, doesn't that kind of help things?
Tomlin is a good example. How many losing seasons has Mike Tomlin had with the Steelers? Maybe one, if that.
Yeah.
Every year, all you hear is fire him, fire him. I think that's an excellent example of what it is I'm talking about. But well, that's just me.
Yeah, look, it's a fair point.
Real talk radio, man. That's what I try to bring.
Real talk with you. Okay, so we've been trying to find homes for all these quarterbacks, but that's the fun part of this,
mm-hmm.
and it's free agency because you have teams that have their guy, but okay, and Tampa could have very easily re-signed Jameis Winston and probably been fine, but Tom Brady comes a knocking. Do you guys buy the report that came out earlier that Tom, and I can't remember, I'll have to go look, it might have been Diana Russini that put it out, that Brady's first choice was no longer on the table? Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
No.
I got to pull it up. But
only report I saw was the Bucks were the only team to make an offer.
Yeah, and that was just, one. But that his first choice was no longer on the table. And we talked about it on the midday show of, okay, was that the Titans? Is the Titans his first choice?
Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, it would make
a lot of sense. We saw him on FaceTime with Mike Vrabel.
Hey, I mean, there's clearly a bunch of fits. So.
But you mentioned the only having one offer thing. And when we talk about Tom Brady hitting free agency and only having one free agent offer, that's so surprising that not even one other suitor out there was even willing to test the waters, test the market, and put something out there and do a little bit of negotiation in a deal-making environment.
I can't call it, man. I can't call it. That's wild to me, man. I thought the Raiders would be, a team. I still felt the Chargers would have been a team, too. But, wow.
Well, and that's what's so interesting, because there were reports earlier that the Chargers were in on it and they had an offer, and then there was a report that the Bucs were the only one.
I bet you his first choice was San Francisco.
And it could have been.
That's going home.
That's where he's from.
A team who was just in the Super Bowl with everything he's always succeeded with a great team around him.
But look, logistically for San Francisco, and look, I know anything is possible in this league. You can pull anything off. Logistically, that could have been tough to do, because who's going to take Jimmy G?
You could cut him, and it costs you $4 million.
That's all it would? That's the dead cap money? And then Belichick could re-sign him?
that's exactly what would have happened.
Yep.
Hey. Well, it looks like it's going to be, unless – does this have a feeling – I mean, in all these guys like Rapoport and Schefter and Jeff Darlington, and Darlington has been all over the story from the very beginning.
He hit it on the head.
If all of a sudden in the middle of the night, Brady's like, you know what? I'm going to go to – I don't know. I was going to pull a random team out, but – somewhere. I'm going to go to Dallas, and they'll rescind the tag to Dak. I'll go to Dallas.
I mean, going to San Francisco, I think, would make a lot of sense. But from the standpoint you were coming from of moving around with Jimmy Garoppolo and that logistical aspect, even though he was only $4 million against the cap, I kind of see how that's tough to do, given you were just in the Super Bowl with him, even though when it comes down to it, it's business. And I personally would rather have Tom Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo right now. But in terms of navigating with the team you have right now, I could see how it's tough to move on.
I really don't think it's tough, right? Tom Brady, in my opinion, makes that throw to Emmanuel Sanders.
He does, but
Tom Brady, in my opinion, doesn't have that interception before halftime. Tom Brady, in my opinion, stands tall and moves within the pocket and buys that extra time and completes passes. I mean, I don't think it, in my opinion, would be a legitimate, easy switch moving from Garoppolo to Tom Brady.
Look, and I would love him in that offense. And I know that the NFL stands for not for long. But you just went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
You lost. You're the first
Jared
loser.
Goff lost the year before. Would you cut Jared Goff?
You're going apples to oranges. I mean, obviously Jared Goff, his situation and Jimmy Garoppolo's situation are different situations.
They're both overrated. They're both
overrated. They are, but Goff is better than Garoppolo. And Goff, Brady wasn't on the table with Goff last year or 2 years ago. So I think it's not something you can't make that comparison. I really think that, like I said, it should be an easy switch. And guys in on the team should definitely understand. George Kittle would probably complain. But guess what? As soon as Tom Brady drops back and he hits him on the money and he makes those monster yards after the catch, there will be no complaints
whatsoever. As soon as somebody sends George Kittle video of Gronk and Brady together, he'd probably be like, oh, okay.
So, Teron, I'm a little curious then how you kind of compare the situation between the Titans and Tannehill and the Titans and Brady, because when we compare it to kind of like Jared Goff, like Chase said just a second ago, I think, well, what about with what the Titans just did and what the Titans lost in the AFC Championship game? How do you compare those two situations?
Well, I think you look at what the 49ers did last year, it relied much more on the running game than the Titans did, which
they
is hard
three
to
different
say.
Running backs.
They used three different running backs. They averaged just under what? I think like 160 per game. Like, it was just totally. And it wasn't because they wanted to do it like the Titans do. They had to do it. They had to. Now, I'll give Jimmy G the Saints game. I'll give him the Saints game. He showed that he could sling it. I just feel it's a different situation with Tom Brady in that offense. And frankly, at one point, because I've been back and forth with it, at one point, I remember on the mornings or on the afternoon show, you know, with you and Willie and Darren, I remember saying, hey, you know, for a segment, I was like, yo, Tom Brady should be the quarterback. So it's close.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Titans situation is better with Tannehill. I feel Brady in San Francisco would just be.
Basically, you're saying Tannehill's better than Garoppolo.
I without a doubt.
Yeah.
And Garoppolo was somebody I was mentioning when I said Tannehill should get paid. Because he is better.
Yeah.
Tannehill, listen, one thing that Ryan Tannehill did in his time here and watching him, that dude made me a believer that he's not scared.
Yeah.
And if you're not scared of quarterback, that's step one. And Tannehill's not scared. I'll give him that.
What did I say about Cam Newton? That if you're a team and you're looking for a quarterback, then you want to go get Cam Newton because why? Because he's pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill was pissed off.
Something to prove. Yeah.
Yeah. Any quarterback that has, or any player, I should say, Vic Beasley could very well be that guy that, hey, I've heard the noise. I got something to prove. I'm going to go work with Vrabel. I'm going to show you what I can do in Tennessee, and then I'm going to get paid. I mean, that is exactly what it could be. We will reset that. We'll talk about Vic Beasley. We'll talk about the Titans and the moves that they've made and what they need to do and the other free agent signings. It is the NFL Free Agency Special here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.